So take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter number 4, Mark chapter number 4, and we're going to continue on in the test of faith. So we started that last week in Mark chapter 4, and we see in Mark chapter 4, near the end of the chapter, in verses 35 through 41, we looked at last week how that this was the crossing of the disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and they came across a storm, that Jesus was in the back asleep, and they were frightened. They were terrified of what was going to happen. And so now we're going to do a brief overview of several sections of Mark chapter 4 that illustrate something very important, that this in this passage was a test of faith. It was a test of the disciples' faith, and we're going to read it together, beginning in verse number 35. So get your Bibles out. If you have anything going on, have your kids sit down, get them ready to go, get their Bibles out, and pay close attention tonight because this is a very important message. Every message from God's Word is important, amen? And so I guess I'll amen myself. It's echoing in here a little bit with the amen. So if you want to say amen on the comments or just want to text an amen, go right ahead. That encourages me that I am being clear. I've said this once, and I'll say it probably 100 more times, that it is very different preaching when no one is in here. So if I'm looking this way and this way, it's okay. Nobody's here. I'm just doing it out of force of habit, okay? Because that makes it feel normal for me, okay? So we're in Mark chapter 4, beginning of verse number 35. Get your Bibles out and maybe silence your cell phones. If you're watching on your cell phone, I understand. But if you're watching on a computer or something, silence your cell phones, quiet down, put the dogs and the cats outside, and listen closely to the Word of God. All right, beginning of verse number 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together in his word. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for tonight that we're able to be together online, though not in person. We look forward to that again on Sunday. But Lord, I pray that the lack of people here would not be a distraction to me. But Lord, that you give me the power. I still can't preach this message. I am weak, but you are strong. And I pray that these lessons in faith, dear Lord, that we would take them to heart and that we would apply them, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. I pray, dear Lord, that you protect our church. A lot of different places around our city have been infected with the virus. And we pray, Lord, that you protect our church. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to every heart, no matter where they be, whether here in Killeen or far away, that your word would speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, Mark chapter 4, we just read the account, so we've got a picture in our minds right now. We've got a picture in our sanctified imagination here that they are in the ship. They're in at that night. They're in a terrible, terrible storm. And now they believe that Jesus didn't know what was going on. They didn't think Jesus knew a thing about what they were going through, but they forgot something, that Jesus was the Son of God and still is the Son of God. But at this time, he seemed to be asleep physically, but Jesus knew exactly what was going on. Jesus knew exactly what they were facing. But if you look at chapter 4, we're going to go briefly through the two sections we looked at last week, and we see that Jesus was teaching them lessons in faith. Lessons in faith. He was giving them parables about that had to do with faith. To be honest, every part of our Christian life must be done in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, as Hebrews chapter 12 or chapter 11. And we see that God is only pleased when we live and walk in faith. So first we're going to look at verses 3 through 20, just very briefly, that we must understand something, that we are saved by faith. We're saved by faith. I think we all understand that we must be saved through faith in not ourselves and not in the works of the church, not in baptism, not in anything else except the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 makes that extremely clear. We are saved by faith. Right here in this passage, beginning in verse number 3, we talk about, Jesus talks about the sower and the seed that he went out to sow. As a farmer would, verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, and it withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now this phrase in verse number 9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, is repeated all through the Gospels, but especially in this passage. And remember, we looked at last week that we can hear something, but we're not listening. It can go in one ear and out the other. But more when that happens, especially when we're talking about truth, and it goes in one ear and out the other, really what it is they don't accept, they don't have faith in what they have heard. When we witness to somebody and they hear the gospel and they hear their need, they hear the wonderful Savior Jesus Christ died for them, and they see their need, but then they say, you know what, I'm not going to act on that today, I don't need that. They will not put faith, they do not believe what they are hearing is true. That's really what everything boils down to. Things that are true we act upon, either that are true or we believe to be true, are the things that we act upon as individuals. And as a Christian, we can say we believe the Bible all day long, that we will live by the Bible, that the Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. But if you don't live it, if you don't apply it, then you don't have faith in God's Word. Maybe in parts of it, but in that particular area, you do not have faith, and God says that is sin. We're saved by faith. And so we see here in this description, beginning in verse number 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? So Jesus begins to explain the parable. And the verse 14, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So they're presented with the truth, and they believe the devil's lie. They have faith in what the devil tells them, and they discard the gospel. They discard salvation through Jesus Christ. Then verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. They receive the word, they understand their need, but they're not fully convinced. They have faith in some of what is going on, but they aren't willing to commit 100%. They'll make a decision, sure. They'll make a profession, sure. Hey, they might even get baptized, but they're not 100% convinced that Jesus is the only way. They're not 100% convinced that God is the only way to live and that the Bible is the only way to live. They're going to try this out and see how it works for them. But then when adversities come, what do we find out? Verse 17. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. After when affliction or persecution ariseth for the world's sake, immediately they are offended, and they leave, and they say, I don't want any part of this. They don't have faith in Jesus Christ. It was a conditional faith. It was a conditional belief, and really what it is, it's not faith at all. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things and entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. If they listen to the word, they listen and they believe it, they want to believe it, but then all the things they're going to miss out on, the deceitfulness of riches, the things of this life, they are more alluring and they discard the truth. How sad that is. A lot of Christian people do that. They see the truth of God's word, but they see other things. They see the deceitfulness of riches. They see the lust of the flesh, things that are not of God, things that are in this world, and they say, you know what, I will sacrifice this truth for what I want to do. I'll sacrifice this truth for how I feel. I'll sacrifice this truth. They have faith in their feelings. They have faith in their own wisdom. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Amen. I think we all need to remember that. We want to lean to how we feel and how we think, but in the end, it all will bring destruction. But in the end, we saw that the one that received the word, and here we see, let's look back at verse number 9. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Now let's go down to verse number 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear. I want you to underline that. Such as hear the word. If you have your Bible tonight, underline that. Such as hear the word and receive it. So they heard it and they received it. They heard it and they listened. They heard it and they believed. They heard it and they had faith. That's how someone gets saved. They're saved by faith. They receive it into their heart. They open their heart by faith and they receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And that, just as an ear of corn, a kernel of corn is planted, and out of that one kernel comes a plant that bears hundreds of more kernels of corn and brings forth, that's what it's talking about here, some 30, some 60, and some 100. It multiplies. That's how God does it, and that all can only be done through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith. Second, look at verses 21 through 25. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. There's that phrase again, as we saw in verse number 9. He said unto them, take heed that ye hear with what measure ye meet. It shall be measured to you, and unto you that shall hear more, unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So right here, what's this talking about? First, we see we're saved by faith. Second, living by faith. We'd be living by faith. And that's exactly what's going on here. If we have full faith and trust in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ as Savior, God doesn't want, and we're made a light in this world. We are, Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus illuminates us, and we are to reflect the light of Christ. And so it's saying here, now we are a lit candle. Now we have the ability to bring light into this world. We have the ability to bring truth. We have the ability to transmit God's message of salvation to the world. And God doesn't want us to hide our light under a bushel. Doesn't want us to try and hide who we are. Because why are we hiding who we are? Why are we hiding our when we go soul winning? When we go out, do we hide the fact that we're a Christian? Do we try and hide under a bushel our light? That's not living by faith. That's not pleasing to God. Living by the faith of Jesus Christ, that the faith we have in Him and the lifestyle, that's why it's called keeping the faith. That Paul described it, keeping the faith. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep, have faith in it, trust it, and then if you believe it and it transforms your life, you're going to tell someone else about it. But right here, living by faith, we have so much that we are responsible for because we have learned so much. In America, and I mentioned this last week, we know so much about the Bible. We have Bible colleges, we have Bible institutes, we have Sunday school classes, we have online courses, we have evangelists that come in that have doctorate degrees, we have people that come in. There's so much knowledge. And because of that knowledge, we are responsible for it to live it out by faith. We can know something, but not necessarily live it out in faith. And we know so much, but we practically exercise so little of it. Let's be honest. Let's think about this for a minute. How much do you know about the Bible? Maybe some of you don't know a whole lot. Maybe some of you know a lot more. Maybe you've even been to Bible college and you've been in church for all of your life. You know so much. Let's ask ourselves a hard question tonight. Let's be real honest with ourselves. How much of that knowledge do you live out by faith? Meaning this, how much of that knowledge do you practically live out every single day? Because whatever you live out, that's really what you have faith in. If you don't read your Bible, then you don't have faith in it. If you don't pray, then you don't have faith in prayer, in communication with God. Because whatever we do is what we have faith in. If we have faith in our own intellect, in our own feelings, in our own understanding, then we are going to act upon what we think and not care what God thinks or the Bible thinks or our authorities think. We're just going to do what we think is right. And that's sin. We have faith, a misplaced faith. Everything we do is based on faith. It's either faith in God and His Word, faith in what He tells us, or we have faith in what we think and faith what other people tell us, which unfortunately, whatever the world gives as an explanation, whatever the world gives as knowledge, it is false, and it's from the devil, who is the prince of the power of the air. Living, we need to live by faith. All right, that's all the introduction. That's just review from last week. And I have 30 minutes left, so we'll get into the last part tonight. Hopefully I'll get through all of it this evening. I should be able to. All right. Now, so we see that we're saved by faith. Second, we're living in faith. Living in faith. Third, working in faith. Now let's look at verses 26 to 29. So we have two more parables to go tonight. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So what is this talking about? Well, working in faith. And just as we looked at in the first parable, the sower went out to sow. You know that farmers in the United States of America exercise faith every single day? And that they exercise a lot of faith because, you know what they do is they buy very expensive machines. They have workforces of hundreds of people sometimes. They have these big combines if you're talking about big commercial farms, or maybe even it's a small farm. And they have a combine of just a couple of people. But they exercise faith because every spring they prepare that ground. They go and they plow up the fallow ground and they plow it under and then they trench it and they plow it into trenches. They spend all these hours, a lot of money in equipment, a lot of money in fuel, and then they spend a lot of money investing in seed. And they buy that seed and they put it into their planter and they run their planter through the rows and it goes in and it automatically plants all of that. And you know what? What if that seed was bad seed? What if for some reason the corn doesn't grow? For some reason that it just doesn't spring up. You know what? Those farmers are expecting. They go through all of that work. They spend all of this money. They spend all of this time exercising faith in a simple seed. In that, they are expecting that seed to go into the ground, and then that seed will germinate and then will begin to grow, then pop out, as it says right here. The blade comes up first of the corn, that little the blade that does this, and it comes up and it begins to grow, and then it has ears on it, and then it brings forth corn. But they're doing all that in faith, because that's exactly what seeds are supposed to do. We don't know how. Now we know maybe the science of it. But at the end of it, it's really a miracle that God has those seeds grow new plants. And you know what? That's what we're to do. We're to sow seeds. We're to plant seeds of righteousness in our lives, in our children's lives, in those around us. We're to plant the seed of the gospel in people's lives by giving them gospel tracts, giving them a word of witness. And you know what? We say, well, unfortunately, sometimes we think this. Well, they're probably not going to read that. You don't know that. You don't know. Maybe they'll discard that track and they'll pick up that track and someone else will read it and get saved. You are sowing seed, and we leave it up to God in faith to bring forth fruit that maybe we'll never see. Maybe there'll be all hosts of people in heaven that we'll get to meet and that they'll say, you know why I'm here is because you gave that person a gospel tract, or you gave me a gospel tract in the drive-thru. You gave me that tract when I left it on my door and I read it and I got saved. I never was able to come to church, but you know what? I wanted to thank you for working in faith. Farmers work in faith expecting a result. The same way Christians, we plant seeds of God's word in our heart and our life by having daily devotions. We plant, you come to church or you listen online and you let God plant seeds in your life. And I hope tonight you come to this service tonight and you come to every service expecting God to plant something and to bring fruit in your life. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, you can see people that come to church and say, bless me if you can. That's not the attitude we ought to have. We ought to come and say, Lord, I'm coming in faith. You are going to plant seeds and your word is going to bring forth fruit in my life. Sometimes it's an immediate result. Sometimes, many times, it's the long term. You know, I think decisions are great and all. I think decisions, people coming down to the altar and making decisions are great. But at the same time, God's interested in the long-term game here. The long term. That's really what it brings up faithfulness. I mean, if you're here at the altar every week, it doesn't make you faithful. You can be faithful coming to the altar, but I'm faithful and everything else. Now, should we be tender and respond when God tells us to? Absolutely yes. But faithfulness in letting God sow the seed in our hearts and our lives, and then we in return working, sowing that seed in others' lives, in our children, in our church, in our Sunday school classes, in our children's church classes, on our bus routes, in the nursery, ushering, whatever it is. You can plant seeds. And God will bring forth fruit. But do we plant those seeds in faith? Well, I hope this works. No. Do we plant saying, I know this will work. I know God will bring forth fruit. That is working in faith. When you go out soul winning, do you expect God to do something when you're going out? Do you expect God to do something when you give that person a gospel tract? Do you expect God to do something when you plant the seed of prayer and you expect God to bring forth fruit? And it might not be right now. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week. But sometime God is going to bring forth fruit in that person's life. That's working in faith. We need more of that in our churches. We need to work in faith, expecting God to do something. You know, sometimes we look around, well, I hope God's in this. I hope God's in that. I hope God does something here. Where's our faith? Where's our faith? Just like the test of faith that these disciples went through, and they accused him. Why are you so? And they said here, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care what's going on in our life? Don't you care what's going on? He did. It was a test of their faith. That they were saved by faith in Christ. And that's what really they called upon him to save them. But he said this, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? When they thought Jesus wasn't there, when they thought Jesus wasn't able to help them, he was there. He had never left them or forsaken them. And he was there. He saved them by faith. Also, we must be living in faith. In working in faith. But you know, every Christian, agricultural illustrations. Agricultural illustrations. In that, growth is expected. And that brings us to the last one in verse number 30. That we need to be growing in faith. Now, I'm not talking about growing just in our faith, but that's how we grow as a Christian. That we grow by exercising faith. The only way you can grow is by hearing truth from God, having faith in it. By having faith in it, you incorporate it into your heart and into your life. Therefore, by applying it, you will grow. And establishing that truth, building line upon line, precept upon precept, you will grow. That is how we grow as a Christian, by faith. We look at verse number 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. This is a picture of faith. That the mustard seed, if you've ever seen a mustard seed, it's super tiny, super, super, super small, about the size of the end of a pencil. Super small seed. It's actually very hard to plant it if you're planting it because you can't tell if you actually got it in there or not. But then when it grows, though, it is the largest of all the herbs. It should actually make big, almost like a large bush, is almost a tree. And all of this happens simply by putting the small, insignificant seed in the ground. And you know, some of the small truths of God's Word that we view as small. The two commandments, the greatest commandments, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your spirit, with all your might, as it says in Deuteronomy. And the second is likened to love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, how hard could that be? You know what? If we plant those seeds and we have faith in them to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, you're going to see amazing things happen in your life. You're going to see the hand of God on your life if you love God as you ought to. You're going to see the hand of God use you in impossible ways when you love your neighbor as yourself. You're going to see healing in your family if you've had terrible family relationships. You're going to see relationships with your kids grow. You're going to see relationships with people that are complete strangers by showing them love and by showing them, by the way, your neighbor is everybody. Everybody that lives on this planet Earth is your neighbor. Therefore, we are to live in faith. But planting that seemingly small and insignificant seed, Jesus said, whoever gives a cup of water into the least of these, my brethren, who give a cup of water in my name, he's done it unto me. Why? It seems like an insignificant thing to take care of someone's needs, to help someone out who's in need. You know, sometimes maybe people come by the church and they need some food, or they need some gas, or they need a ride somewhere. And that seemingly insignificant thing, following the command of Christ, that mustard seed, will help us grow. And I just talked before about working in faith and growing in faith, very closely connected here. Are we willing to put those seemingly small things, and it's amazing to us, to me, sometimes in my life, that we always focus on the big things. We need to focus on the big things. We need to focus on those big watermelon seeds and those big corn kernels, and we need to plant those and put those in the ground. And then we see in the selection for the day, the seed selection, the mustard seeds, the small things in the Christian life, the small things. Isn't it interesting? There's a reason why Jesus said that the first shall be last and last shall be first. That is seemingly the way we think bigger is better. Now, are all truths of God's Word important? Absolutely yes, and we should incorporate all of them. But we look at these things, how can this? We don't see how this particular truth could help me grow in a big way. We want to get the big truths and get the bigger, the deeper truths when it is the simple, practical mustard seed is what we need to be planting. And that's going to bring greater results. Herb trees grow a lot bigger than corn does. Grows a lot bigger than any watermelon plant. Grows bigger than many other fruits and vegetables. But it's so small. We miss it sometimes. Unfortunately, our culture has warped our thinking at times. Bigger is better. Not saying we shouldn't apply the big truths of God's Word. You know, we're talking about, you know, the standards of living and the things like that, and separation and all of those things are very important. But the mustard seed of faithfulness, the mustard seed of love, the mustard seed of faith, the mustard seed of daily asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do today? The watermelon seeds of God's will, my eternal, my destiny for my life. That's an important thing. But do we neglect the mustard seed of daily walking with God? That is how we grow in faith. Tonight, I hope that looking at Mark chapter 4 near the end of the chapter here, we have seen the test of faith. The disciples were tested in that moment. They had been taught so much. They had been taught about the sower and the seed. They had been taught about the light that is supposed to be set in the candle, not hid, and that they were responsible for what they were being hearing, and that they needed to have faith, and that they needed to have that growth. They needed to have faith like that farmer had, that is going to grow. That all that Jesus was giving them, all that Jesus was teaching them, needed to begin to be implemented because they needed to grow to prepare them for this. And I don't know if they thought that And in verse number 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So he gave them personal teaching, but they didn't get it. Isn't that frustrating? Sometimes you look at the disciples like, duh, why didn't you get that? Let's be honest, how many times have we read something in the Bible and we didn't get it? How many times did we read something in the Bible and we didn't fully understand what God was wanting from us, that God wanted us to do? But Jesus gave them all this teaching, and then they were given a test sent by God. That was a God-ordained situation, that Jesus was there, and it was exactly what those disciples needed at that particular time. We're not thankful for the storms of life. Unfortunately, when storms happen, we think that they are for our detriment. They're there to destroy us. That's what those disciples thought. It was there to destroy them. It was there to eliminate them. It was there to extinguish their life. But what are we living in? Are we living in faith, or are we living in our own understanding? The disciples leaned to their own understanding, saying, this is a storm that's going to destroy us. But God wanted them to live in faith, saying, Jesus can deliver us from this. There would have been a big difference from, Master, cares not that we drown. And, dear Lord, we know that you can do all things, and you can deliver us from this storm. And he would have stood up just the same and said, peace, be still. He saved them. He could take care of the situation. But they failed. They accuse him. Don't you care? He cares. Does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. He cares about your grief. He cares about your pain. He cares about your situations. He cares about your burdens. He cares about it all. Tonight, have we failed the test of faith? Have we failed at times to have faith? We all have failed at times. But are we more in a place of defeat than in a place of victory? Chapter number 5. Here in the book of Mark, you see that happens the very next thing. On their way over, why did Jesus test their faith? Because they were about to encounter something that was completely beyond their ability. Something that was completely beyond their physical capability to handle or even to understand. In chapter number 5, we see that they had sailed over the Sea of Galilee and they have gone into the land of the Gadarenes. And they met the maniac of Gadara, the man that was full of a legion of devils, a man that had been tried to been held by iron shackles and broken them, that he had been tried to have been tamed and he had broken free every time, that he lived in the tombs and he cut himself and was completely out of control and overcome with the devil. And you know what's required? To see someone delivered from that faith. He was trying to prepare them for what they needed. To be in the trenches of ministry. To be where God wanted them to be. They needed faith to believe that he could do it. Verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, if thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. What happened to this man? Jesus completely delivered this man from this legion of devils. Hundreds of evil and unclean spirits were possessing this man. And he restored him to his right mind, saved his soul, and then told him he wanted to come with Jesus. He said, no, go and what? Verse number 19, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. All men did marvel. About 20 to 30 years later, when the Apostle Paul and others, the other apostles, had gone up into the area of Decapolis, they found churches that were already established. Why? Because of this man. Because he went and he showed and told people. The simple, he hadn't had time to really learn a whole lot. Only that Jesus saves. And that Jesus loved him enough to take the time to deliver him. And that if Jesus could deliver him, he could deliver anyone. Faith. He went out and did what Jesus asked him to do. He had faith in Jesus because he delivered him. Many times those that have been delivered from affliction and sin have a greater desire to serve God completely and totally with their life because they knew what they were and they knew what Jesus did to deliver them. Unfortunately, there are some that have grown up on that have grown up in Christian homes, but they don't have faith. Why? They've never had to exercise faith. Parents, the best thing you can do is to teach your children to exercise faith. Do you have faith? So tonight, have we failed the test of faith? If your faith is being tested right now, there's a reason. Something is coming up. God wants to do something with you, but He won't do it if you don't pass the test. Will you allow Him to stretch and test your faith tonight? In a moment, we'll close in a word of prayer. And I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you, that we're saved by faith, we need to live by faith, we need to work by faith, we need to grow by faith. Where's your faith tonight? Is it in yourself? Is it in your thinking or what you feel? Or is it right here in God's holy word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I thank you, Lord, for your many wonderful truths that we learned tonight. And I pray that everyone listening tonight would live by faith. I pray that if any listening tonight, that they're not saved, they've never trusted you for salvation, that they would go back and look at they need the saving faith and that they would trust you alone to save them and put all 100% of their belief and trust in you and dependence upon you to save them. And Lord, we know that you will miraculously save them. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail the test of faith. We fail of the grace of God. We fail of your mercy. Forgive us, Lord, but we know you forgive us and you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, that we would learn the lesson and grow in our faith and pass the test. Whatever that may be, even at the hardest times of our life, I pray, Lord, that we would pass the test of faith. We thank you, Lord. Bless us now as we come to our prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen.